Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnton, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 13th day of November, 2018, and I'm delighted to have returning to the program someone who I interviewed not long ago. In fact, I strongly urge you at some point after today's interview, if you have not already heard my October 29th interview with Lowell Ivey on his testimony, his personal testimony that we titled "From Prison to Pardoned: How a White Supremacist Gang Member in Prison Discovered and Found True Freedom in Christ Jesus," go to ironsharpensironradio.com, and then you would click on the past shows podcast section, and then type in Ivy, that's I-V as in Victory, E as in Edward, Y, and that recording, that the link for that recording will come up when you do that in the search engine of the past shows podcast on ironsharpensironradio.com, and you could listen to the full testimony of my guest, Lowell Ivy. But we wanted to have Lowell back on the program to continue the theme of white supremacy because of the fact that this is a term that is being thrown around every single day, multiple times a day, on our television screens and our radios and on the internet, which is really being used most often, it seems, as a slanderous term hurled at those who are not truly white supremacists at all. They're merely conservative Christians who happen to be white, who are concerned about illegal immigration and things like that. Today we are going to be discussing Inside the Dark Mind of a White Supremacist, an overview of the different species of white supremacists, the distinction between white nationalism and white supremacy, how racism is a denial of Christ's gospel, and how to live as a witness of Jesus Christ in today's racially charged climate. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back once again to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Lowell Ivey, pastor of the Reformation Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's great to have you back.
Well, Chris, it's my honor and privilege to be here. Thank you again for inviting me, and it's a subject that is very, very close to my heart. My hope is that as we prayed before the program, that some who might be in the midst of this darkness would come to see the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I would hope and pray that in addition to white supremacists hearing this, because I'm certain that somebody in this vast listening audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has a loved one, someone whom they are concerned about. They are in fear of this loved one going to hell because they have embraced this satanic ideology known as white supremacy, which comes in all different stripes and types. But I'm sure that some people who have this horrible and damning mindset will get this recording into their hands and into their ears, as I said, more importantly. This is a very important topic, I think, especially as I hinted at in your introduction, because we really need to separate what truly is the sin of white supremacy from that ideology which many conservatives may have, whether they are Christian or not, who are very concerned and fearful about immigration laws being ignored, even defiantly so, by many leaders, elected officials in our country, who want people to come here without any problem at all, without any kind of legal process, without any kind of vetting, where they can just come into our country. And that is being deemed, this apprehension, this opposition to that kind of illegal immigration, as being constantly referred to as white supremacy and racism. And obviously that's absurd, because there are many people of all skin colors and ethnic backgrounds who agree that we need to have strongly controlled borders in this country, and that does not that is not equivalent to racism. But before we get into the heart of this subject, for those of our listeners who are hearing you for the first time, tell our listeners about Reformation Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Thanks, Chris. RPC, Reformation Presbyterian Church, is a church plant of the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're a small congregation of people who love the Lord very much and who are seeking to live according to the principles of the gospel, and also to tell other people about the Lord Jesus.
And the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that denomination, it began in the earlier part of the 20th century when the major denomination of Presbyterianism, today it would be called the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, that became so liberal. In fact, it wasn't even as liberal then as it is now. But it became so liberal, with joined with that a denial of the inerrancy of Scripture and so on, that men such as J. Gresham Machen and others felt it necessary to depart from that denomination and form the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Of course, there were even some that did so involuntarily. They were excommunicated. In fact, J. Gresham Machen was one of those, was he not, who was excommunicated?
That's right, yeah. J. Gresham Machen wrote a book, a well-known book, for those who have been to seminary. It's probably a textbook in most seminary classrooms, or I hope that it is, a book called Christianity and Liberalism. And the problem back in the early part of the 20th century was that some were saying that you could be a Christian and not believe in things like the virgin birth, the inspiration of Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus, miracles, and so forth. You could be a Christian and not believe in those things. And what J. Gresham Machen sought to do, and I think he did very well, was to show that these are two different religions, Christianity and liberalism, theological liberalism. You are either a Christian or you're a liberal. You cannot be a Christian liberal. That's what he sought to show. And I think he does a marvelous job of showing that, but also in presenting the gospel so that you're not left feeling like, well, if I'm a liberal, there's no hope for me. Well, there is hope. You simply believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's much hope there.
Amen. And if anybody wants to purchase that book, which is a classic, go to cvbbs.com. That's one of our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, and ask for Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen. His last name is spelled M-A-C-H-E-N. Let's start with an overview, as you actually, before the program, suggested the different bullet points of things that you wanted to cover. And let's start with an overview of the different species of white supremacists, because they're not all the same. You have those that are part of the Christian identity movement, and there's nothing Christian about it. They just they use that phrase to distinguish themselves from Jews and people that they would wickedly view as inferior. But you even have those that, like Tom Metzger, who's an atheist, who thinks Christianity is silly and ridiculous and weak. And you have all different varieties in between. But tell us, who are the main groups that you want to address and define and distinguish?
Well, I think that we need to understand that white supremacy is an ideological assertion that the white race is superior to and ought to dominate other races. That's what white supremacy is. It's an ideological assertion that the white race is superior to and ought to dominate other races. Now, white supremacy is essentially a form of racism, and that's even a form of you might as well just call it pride. It's a form of pride. So it's certainly against the law of God. It's against the way that God has made us to relate to one another, but white supremacy ought to be distinguished from other forms of racism, and the white supremacists themselves or white nationalists, however they identify themselves, would do so. Some are espousing a view that the white race, if you want to speak in terms of a white race, I think that's a whole separate. We'll get to that as we talk about what the Bible has to say, but that. They would say that the white race is superior intellectually, in terms of achievements, in terms of culture, that the white race, because of its superiority, ought to dominate other races. And that view is actually rooted in evolutionary theory. And many white supremacists, Adolf Hitler included, would use evolutionary theory to root and ground the ideology.
That's why it is always utterly amazing to me when liberals who claim to be champions in opposition to racism and bigotry hold firmly to Darwinian evolution, and it's so oxymoronic because of the fact that the roots of much of white supremacy and bigotry are found in this kind of ideology, eugenics and so on.
Sure. If you think of what Dostoevsky says in one of his novels, he has one of his characters say, "If there is no God, all things are permissible." And if there is no God, if we're just grown-up germs, then it doesn't matter how we relate to one another because there's no creator. We're not accountable to anyone above ourselves. And therefore, it doesn't matter. So, for people who do espouse evolutionary theory, for them to seek to tell us somehow that white supremacy is wrong, where do they have the authority to tell us that anything is wrong? Is the question that I would ask. In other words, there's no moral basis for their theory that white supremacy is wrong. We as Christians can say, on the basis of God's word, that it's wrong. We have that ability but we have that mandate to do so. But back to the question about, we talked about the species of white supremacy or the species of racism. Often there's a distinction is made between white supremacy and white nationalism. And I used to hear this quite a bit. I also would have classified myself at one point. I think I probably would have classified myself as a white nationalist. But the idea of white nationalism is the idea that you're simply looking out for your own kind. You see things that are happening. In fact, I was just reading something yesterday. It was a sign in Europe, somebody who's concerned about some of the things that are happening with the European Union and all sorts of things like that. And the person had this sign that said, multiculturalism is genocide. That was the sign. And the idea there was, we're seeking to defend ourselves against this threat of multiculturalism. Well, many white nationalists would definitely resonate with that kind of thing. they would say, white people around the globe are under siege. We can point to lots of examples of that on the news. They're going to point to things happening in South Africa that tend to be suppressed on the news. They're going to point to a lot of different things, and they're going to say, we need to be concerned about, quote-unquote, our people. We need to be concerned about the white race. We need to be concerned about white people wherever they exist because the trends are against white people surviving. So they're going to make a lot of these kinds of arguments. And, of course, we have to be very careful about how we might, you know, we're talking about immigration policy, that sort of thing, and we have to be careful about how we argue those kinds of things, because it is possible for us to be perceived as being anti-immigration, when the truth is, I think most people are simply saying, we want it to be done in an orderly way. We want it to be done according to the law.
Exactly.
And I think that's the level at which the debate needs to happen, rather than for people to throw charges of racism around in an uncharitable way, which I'll get to in a little bit as we have time.
One thing I wanted to say that I find fascinating, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm sure that many of our listeners are unaware of this, but it is quite interesting that George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party in the 60s, might have been the 50s, but it continued through at least some part of the 1960s. He shared in common with the Nation of Islam, also known as the Black Muslims, a admiration of Adolf Hitler, a hatred of the Jews, and a strong belief in separatism. I don't know if our listeners are aware of this, but as much as you may hear Louis Farrakhan, the current leader of the Nation of Islam, publicly support the election of black democratic politicians, he is a strong believer, as is his organization, in separatism. They do not believe in integration. They look forward to a day when the United States is segregated, where blacks and whites have their own homelands, where the two skin colors do not intermingle. And because of George Lincoln Rockwell's agreement with the Nation of Islam on that issue, he was invited to speak at their major event in the 1960s in Madison Square Garden. So it is quite remarkable when you can think about an all-black organization inviting a white neo-Nazi to speak for them and give him a place of honor.
Well, inviting someone that they would regard as a white devil to speak to.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. It's ironic, it's bizarre, but you know, they always say politics makes for strange bedfellows, and this is at its root, these ideologies are simply an expression of a hope that does not transcend this world. They have a hope that is rooted and grounded here in this world, and for some people, that we see it today. We see so many people they're so consumed with the politics of our country that's what they're living for. That's become their idol, left or right, whatever side people are on. The same is true here with racism. It doesn't matter what kind of racism it is, black racism, white racism. The problem is that people are rooting their worldview in the idea that this world is all there is.
Right. And so you began distinguishing between white nationalism and white supremacy. I'm assuming that there are those who are members of the Ku Klux Klan and other organizations, or they're not officially a member of any group. They just like to portray themselves publicly as identifying with these groups. You might want to call them posers or however you want to refer to them. But you will hear sometimes when people are interviewed, I don't believe in white supremacy. I believe there is nothing innately superior about whites and over blacks, but and other races. But I believe that we should be separate. Now, very often, people who have said that in public, when you hear other things that they have said or written, you can clearly see there really are white supremacists, because the names with which they call people of other skin colors and ethnic groups, and you could see they're really speaking out of both sides of their mouths when they say that very often. Am I correct that sometimes this is just a way to look more appealing to the masses who might be too frightened or nauseated and shocked by the actual supremacist factor in the issue?
Yeah, it's a PR move, basically. In one sense, it's a PR move. It's essentially whitewashing. It's presenting a veneer, but beneath the veneer is the idea that my group, that group that I'm identifying myself with, is better and more worthy of preservation than any other group. Now, that's entirely contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the gospel says to love your neighbor as yourself. The gospel says to deny yourself. It doesn't say to be foolish, obviously, and to destroy yourself. You're not seeking to destroy yourself. But at the same time, you're not seeking to lift yourself up above others. You have nothing to boast about. And this is one of the things that really hit me as I was wrestling with some of these issues. And as I became a Christian and began to understand better what the gospel was about, I realized the family that I was born into, and the skin that I was born into, and the DNA that I had, and all of that, I had absolutely nothing to do with that, and therefore have no reason whatsoever to boast or to be proud. And that was a help to me as I tried to understand, you know, what people are thinking and what I was thinking when I was thinking this way. It's essentially a form of pride, sometimes rooted in fear, sometimes rooted simply in a desire to lift oneself up and to feel as if, you know, a lot of times what happens is people will read literature that talks about all of the great accomplishments of white people throughout the ages, and the comparison is made with other cultures. And the idea is, you see, you're part, this is what you're part of, and you should take pride in this. And my question is, well, how do I take pride in something that I had absolutely nothing to do with? Do you see what I mean, Chris?
Yes.
You know, it's not, the idea is you should be proud of the fact that you're part of this great race. When the truth is, you should be humbled by whatever circumstances God has placed you in. You should say, I just thank God that He's given me life and breath and given me the privilege of living in His world and given me the gifts that He's given me to use for His glory.
Now, we keep using the term race, and that term is bandied about constantly in the media. We as Christians, in actuality, believe there is only one race, the human race, that these different skin colors that we have, or different shades, or different melanin content that separate people, or should I say that make people look different one from another, are really meaningless. We, as sinful human beings, exalted this factor in one's description to be something of great importance, but it's actually a very trivial thing. The texture and color of somebody's hair and eyes and their skin color, it means absolutely nothing.
Well, absolutely, and you know, we know that all of the races that exist, or all of the ethnicities, I prefer to speak of ethnicities rather than races, because the term race is politically charged, and it really is not all that scientific. So I prefer to speak in terms of ethnicities or people groups. But we know that all of the genetic diversity is traced back to a single pair, Adam and Eve. And all of that genetic diversity has come through them. And so whatever differences that we see, whatever physical characteristics that are manifested, the thing that we should be saying is, what a God that we have that would be able to bring forth all of this diversity from a single pair. It's incredible.
Amen.
And it's reason for praising God, not for boasting in anything in ourselves.
Amen. We're going to go to our first break right now. When we return, unless you have a thought that you didn't complete that you'd like to do when we return, but I'd like you to define or introduce to our audience, and when I say introduce, not in a positive way, but explain the phenomenon of kinism, which, although it is a tiny minority in the spectrum of belief systems on the planet Earth, they are most disturbing, I think, because of the efforts to give an appearance of evangelical ideology and theology. So if you could, when we get back, unless you have a thought that you wanted to complete, let our listeners know about this dangerous ideology, lest they be somehow sucked into it, especially if you happen to be obviously a white person listening, and you are somehow drawn into this movement, not knowing how evil and vile and damnable it is. But we're going to this first break. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own for our guest, Lowell Ivey, a former white supremacist gang member who is saved in prison and is now a pastor, we are speaking about the issue of white supremacy, Inside the Dark Mind of a White Supremacist, an overview of the different species of white supremacists, the distinction between white nationalism and supremacy, how racism is a denial of Christ's gospel, and how to live as a witness of Jesus Christ in today's racially charged climate. Our email address, if you'd like to join us, is chrisaronson@gmail.com. chrisaronson@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages with Pastor Lowell Ivey.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm Executive Director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets.
Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, Senior Pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker, all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It's been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages – We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And keep praying for Mike Gaidosh as he continues to recover after his very serious and dangerous open heart surgery. We thank God that the Lord guided his surgeon, guided his hands very carefully and proved to be an excellent surgeon who successfully completed his mission in the operating room, and that Mike is home recovering and still recovering and feeling stronger every day. Please try to replenish financially that which was lost during the period of time Mike was laid up in the hospital and also recovering, because it did take a financial toll on the sales of Solid Ground Christian Books, where Mike is the founder and director. And so please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and do a lot of holiday shopping from there in order to help replenish financially what was lost during this trial in Mike Gaidosh's life. And by the way, Pastor Lowell, Mike Gaidosh, is very excited to speak with you at some point, because he thinks that this topic would make an outstanding booklet and also a full-length book. So just wanted to put that bug in your ear, because he's really enthusiastic about what you're talking about today.
Well, did you tell him I was reading those Solid Ground books when I was in prison?
Yes, I did. he was very blessed by that.
Yeah, it's been a great ministry to me personally, and so I'm very thankful and sad to hear about his health issues. Please also pray for, we have a provisional elder, Pastor Steve Doe, who just had also open heart surgery and is in the hospital right now.
Wow. Well, I hope that many of our listeners, after hearing that, will certainly pray that the Lord will bring about just as much a positive result as was the case with Mike Gaidosh and his surgery. And I'm sure if Romans 8:28 is true, which we know it to be true as Christians, that for some way we may not know on this earth, this is going to be a great benefit to Brother Doe, as it was, is, and will be for Mike Gaidosh. If you would like to join us on the air, folks, with a question for Lowell Ivey, pastor of Reformation Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, who is a former white supremacist gang member in prison, who was saved in prison by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and delivered from that damnable ideology. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before we go to any listener questions, Pastor Lowell, unless you wanted to complete something that you were saying earlier, I wanted you to give our listeners not only a definition, but a warning about a satanic and evil and damnable racist ideology known as kinism.
Well, let me back up for a moment and just say that where we are is, we've been talking about white supremacy. We've seen that it's an assertion that the white race is superior to and ought to dominate other races, and there are different species. And one of the things that we could do is we could categorize them as religious and non-religious forms of white supremacy. And there's some crossing of the lines between the two. But as we talked about white nationalism, obviously the focus is oftentimes creating a nation state that would be like a white nation state. So it's more of a political, this world kind of view. But there are religious forms of white supremacy. There's something called Asatru, which has to do with the Nordic religions, kind of a resurrection of ancient paganism. There's even a version of that called, they're calling it heathenry. So they're using that term that once used to be a derogatory term for paganism. They're kind of embracing that term. We're heathens, and that's how we're identifying ourselves. Or paganism is also something that's embraced oftentimes. There are these old Norse myths that are used to form some sort of a religious foundation.
Yeah, the Nazis were doing that. I mean, of course, they may have brought into their philosophies different forms of white supremacy and Aryan supremacy and all that nonsense. But I know that was at least a part of what some of them were promoting.
The Nazis were very pragmatic, and they used a lot of different kinds of motivational ideologies. They sought to use Christianity, and they sought to infiltrate the church with their ideology, and actually in some ways were quite successful, sadly. But it's because the church had liberalized. The church was weakened, it had liberalized, and much of the church really didn't believe the truth of the gospel anyway. And so they were very vulnerable to that. It wasn't true Christians who were pulled in by this. But then you have religious and non-religious forms of white supremacy, and under that heading of religious forms, sadly you have some that would identify themselves as somehow Christian. So you have what you mentioned earlier, the Christian identity movement. I know you want to talk about that too, but you also mentioned kinism, and kinism is even getting a little closer to home because if we're Calvinist in our theology, or if we're Reformed in our view of the Christian faith and life, then often the charge is going to be, well, see, here's what Calvinism leads to, here's what the Reformed faith leads to, and then they're going to point an accusing finger in the direction of kinism. And the truth is that kinism is not a result of Calvinism. It's a relatively new development, and it's really a spinoff of other forms of white supremacy. But it's using certain biblical texts in order to try to make a case for racial separation, racial segregation. For instance, a kinist will point to Genesis 1:25, God made the beasts of the earth after their own kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And so they're going to refer to how God made the animal creation according to their kinds. Now, that's true, but obviously God made man in his own image, male and female. After his own image and likeness, he made man very different from the animals. But then they'll point also to Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel episode, and they'll say, see, here's the proof that God wants the nations and wants the ethnic groups of the world to live separately and to develop their own cultures and not to intermarry and to live and even to worship separately, and they'll say that this is they'll use this as an argument for racial segregation even in the church. Now the problem with that, the big problem with that, is that this is precisely what the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost to reverse.
Right.
The curse that was given at Babel. The reason that man separated the races had nothing to do, or I should say, the peoples of the earth. It had nothing to do with race at all. It had to do with man's sin and man's desire to rebel against God. And God had given the commandment, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and man was not obeying that commandment. He was gathered together in one place, seeking to build this tower, and essentially seeking to live in this world without God. That's the sin. And so God scattered them abroad, confused their language, gave the different languages of mankind. But then as you come into the New Testament, you see, as I said, the day of Pentecost, and Peter and the other apostles are speaking in such a way that everybody hears in their own tongues. And you go into the, you come to the Book of Revelation, and you find that in heaven everybody's worshiping together, speaking, even though they're speaking the different languages, they're worshiping together. They're together, every nation, tribe, and language together in heaven. And so what the church is called to do is it's called to preach the gospel to all men everywhere, every creature, every human being is to hear the gospel, and it's called to repent and to believe and to enter into the worship of the church. So kinism, in a nutshell, is the idea that that we should be separate in terms of ethnicity and language, and they place a strong emphasis on the family and extended family groups, and they're very distrustful of government, and they, as I said, advocate for racial segregation even in the church.
Now, I think we should probably clarify one thing that people wrongly assume when we speak against those that are when we speak against those who are opposed to interracial marriage, for instance, and again, we're using this term race just because it's a part of the vernacular and it's commonly used. But we rightly oppose interracial. We rightly oppose those who are against interracial marriage because there is no such thing as a biblical distinction on the color of one's skin, and ethnicity means nothing. But we must make sure that we're not misunderstood, because we do believe that it is sin to marry someone outside of the Christian faith, and there is a difference between marrying somebody of another skin color or ethnicity or nation of origin and marrying somebody who denies Christ. Those are very, very different things, aren't they?
It's absolutely right, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because it really is this issue of intermarriage that that is at the heart of the matter, and often and this isn't just true in kinist circles, but also in the Christian identity or the identity Christian circles. Both of those terms are used for essentially the same kind of thinking, but. Often Old Testament texts will be brought to bear to say, you see, look, this is what happened in the Old Testament. God wanted his people to be a separate people from every other nation. God didn't want his people to intermarry with others, and you see great judgments when they did. When you see God's people entering into fornication with the women of Moab, and those you know, God judged that, and of course that's true. But the issue is not race. The issue is always God is seeking to, in the Old Testament particularly, seeking to keep his people separate as a people, as a nation, but also as a covenant people, as the church in the Old Testament. And so God is seeking to keep his people separate from the pagan nations, the ungodly nations, and God is seeking to make it possible for his covenant nation to exist in this world without destroying itself through intermarriage with those who are ungodly and unbelieving. That was the key issue. And you see often in the Old Testament, you see the idea that when people would believe, they were welcomed into Israel. They were brought in as Israelites. And you see the hope even expressed in, for instance, Psalm 67, that the whole world is going to come to worship the God of Israel. And that's happening now under the gospel. So it's truly a denial of the gospel.
Yes, and of course we also have to clarify that Christians do not believe, or at least if they're operating and functioning under a biblical concept, that this is, does not mean that if somebody becomes a Christian and they are married to somebody who's an Orthodox Jew or a Buddhist or a Hindu or an atheist, that they have the freedom to divorce that person. We are not saying that at all.
Not at all. No, Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 7. And he says that that marriage is marriage. If you're married to someone, you're married, and you have that obligation. It's an obligation that continues even if you are converted, and your wife or your husband is not converted. You're still obligated by the bond, the covenant bond of marriage. However, if you're seeking a spouse, and you're a Christian, you are commanded to marry only in the Lord. You're commanded to marry another believer. And the reason for that is marriage is the coming together of two people who are one flesh in God's sight. And so in order to serve God together, in an acceptable way, there must be that spiritual unity at the core of the marriage.
And also one more clarification about this, because you were talking about worshiping separately and so on. You are condemning rightly those that believe that people should be worshiping separately merely because of the differences of melanin content in their skin. You and I, being Reformed Christians, do not believe in the modern concept of ecumenism, where we are to gather in worship services with those who deny Christ or who have a false profession of Christ and a false gospel, even if they were to call themselves Christian. We believe that this is dangerous and sinful, to be gathering, giving the appearance that we are crying out not only in prayer to the same God, but also worshiping and singing praise to the same God with those that deny Christ. This is an area that we are to be worshiping separately, because those who deny Christ are not worshiping a true deity anywhere.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the way that you're anticipating all the objections that might come that I hadn't even thought of as I'm but of course, there are all kinds of objections that people are going to raise, and we'd have to do several more programs just to answer all of those. But certainly, we're saying that that Christian worship is something that is, by its very nature, Christian. And so it's not worship if it's not Christian. And so the idea that that you can have lots of people coming together to worship God in their own way, disregarding what the Scriptures say, but everybody can just get along and believe whatever they want to believe, that's what the Bible always and throughout the Bible condemns as syncretism, a mixture of man's ideas with God's ideas. God is to be worshipped as God says he is to be worshipped in his word. And so obviously, when we talk about if you want to speak of a spiritual kind of segregation, the idea that we are not to worship together with those who are unbelievers, and yet at the same time we want unbelievers to come into our worship services. We want them to be converted, but we don't worship on unbelieving terms. Is probably the best way to say it. We worship God according to God's word, and certainly we want any and all, no matter who they are, if they are human beings made in God's image, which every person who of every nationality and every ethnicity is, we want them to worship with us. We want them to know the true God, and so they have to worship God on God's own terms. So,
yes, there's a difference between unbelievers joining us in our worship services. There's a chasm of difference between that and linking arms with religious leaders, ministers and priests and others, joining them in as they worship their false deities. We cannot be a part of that, and we cannot be a part even of joining in worship with those who profess to be Christian but have a false gospel. And, you know, there are multitudes of clerics in mainline Protestant denominations who do not even believe in the deity of Christ and so on. So we're not to be joining them in worship.
Sure, and a perfect example of this is at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
This is, I believe that it's under the auspices of the Episcopal Church, which is a liberal denomination. And you know, people from all different faiths are invited to come there and to worship there, and it essentially draws no distinctions between between any religions. And so from a purely political perspective, it's a wonderful example of pluralism, which everybody seems to think is a great thing. However, it's also a wonderful example of idolatry and syncretism.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have in between the two major segments, because our sponsors, actually not sponsors, but one of the host radio shows or radio stations, Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio daily, they require this segment to use for their own public service announcements and advertising to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So this is a longer than normal break. Please be patient with us. Use this time not only to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and frequently patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the longer they are going to remain our advertisers. And that means the longer we are going to remain on the air, because we require their financing to exist. So write down the information provided by our advertisers, and also write down information, or write down questions, I should say, for our guest, Pastor Lowell Ivey, about our discussion on white supremacy. We are, if you just tuned us in, opposing that. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Pastor Lowell Ivey.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate,
Call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Gotta tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology.
Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time to order from cvbbs.com as well. If you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will not only receive free shipping on your order of $50 or more, but with a minimum purchase of $50, you will also receive absolutely free the book Always Reforming by David Engelsma. You have to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to get the benefits of those offers.
And we have just a few announcements here that we have to provide for you, that I want to provide for you, so that you could be aware of excellent events that are taking place in the very near future. First of all, coming up in January, which will be here before you know it, we've got the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, from Thursday, January 17th, through Saturday, January 19th, at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. This will be my third year in a row manning an exhibitor's booth, God willing, of course, at the G3 Conference. This January, the theme is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. And they, as always, have a phenomenal, awe-inspiring lineup of speakers. It's just unbelievable how many speakers that they have at this event. We have Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad M. Bewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson of John MacArthur's Grace to You Ministry, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that lineup. If you want to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. If you have Spanish-speaking and bilingual friends, they also have an event on the day before the English-speaking conference. They have the G3 Spanish Conference on Wednesday, January 16th, which will be exclusively in the Spanish language. So if you have pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ, and even people who are not Christian that you want to attend this, who are obviously either Spanish-speaking or bilingual, tell them about the Spanish conference on Wednesday, January 16th. The English conference, once again, is Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th. I also urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth if you have a church, parachurch ministry, business, or professional practice, or special event that you want to promote in this crowd that they are expecting of between 4,000 and 5,000 people. Go to g3conference.com, and you could either register just to attend or register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning. g3conference.com. Last but not least, the Deep South Founders Conference is going to be held January 24th through the 26th at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. This will be my first time manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth at the Deep South Founders Conference. I'm very excited about it. Speakers include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and their keynote speaker, Dr. Conrad M. Bewe, my favorite preacher of all alive on the planet Earth, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and chancellor of African Christian University. For more details on registering for the Deep South Founders Conference, from January 24th through the 26th, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card, and I always try to remind you that I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never siphon money away from your family's food table. Don't put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio either. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and home. Providing for my show is not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please donate as much as you can and as frequently as you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. There's two clicks in a row in that sentence. Ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And if you can also send in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen if you prefer the old-fashioned way of supporting a ministry. And please pray for the long future of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and please prayerfully consider helping us to remain on the air with your generosity. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. Put advertising in the subject line at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we will help you do that as quickly as we can, because we need your advertising dollars as well as your generous gifts. That's also the email address, by the way, if you want to join us on the air with a question for former white supremacist gang member in prison who was saved in prison, a Pastor Lowell Ivey. And we are discussing the evils of white supremacy. And if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, only remain anonymous if you have a question that is personal and private. Before we go to those who are waiting, Pastor Ivey, to have their questions asked, I wanted you to complete whatever it is that you want to say about kinism, and perhaps we could even start with why is it called that, and perhaps you could give us, if you care to, some of the names of people that might be associated that with that, because people sometimes are lured into something because they see something that is biblically true that might be even taught by a false person or group. Obviously, not everybody who has a false religion is sacrificing animals or people to an altar to Satan. You know, there are people who obviously masquerade as Christians and use biblical language to camouflage what they really are all about, whether they are intentionally or unconsciously camouflaging what they are about. Because they might believe what they are teaching is biblical, but that doesn't make it any less damnable. But tell us about a little bit more about the kinism before we move on.
Well, kinism obviously comes from the word kin or kindred, and so the focus is on one's own kind or one's own kindred. So that's the etymology of the word. It's a relatively new phenomenon. I think it probably just began to appear early on in the 21st century as a distinct movement. And there are some kinist websites. There are kinist publications. Some that are still probably available that have gone out of circulation, and there are things like the Kinist Statement by Randall Jameson, and so there are a number of things available that you could look at to find out more. There is also an anti-Semitic element to kinism as well, which is common, of course, in white supremacist ideology, and this is one of those species of white supremacy. But one that we should pay particular attention to because it's creeping into the church and even into Reformed and Calvinist churches. I am aware of one case in which there were disciplinary proceedings in place for someone who was a member of our denomination who was promoting this ideology. And so our Orthodox, oh yeah, absolutely. We take it seriously. We take it as an affront to Christ and as an affront to the gospel. Now, thankfully, there was repentance before that had to happen, but it's something that that we do take very seriously.
Wow. So if there is anti-Semitism involved in these so-called Christian groups, there's nothing really Christian about them.
Right.
I'm assuming, did they deny the Jewishness of Jesus Christ himself and perhaps even the Old Testament saints? Do they define them as Aryan or something or some other way that... Are they trying to claim that we have been duped into believing the Old Testament saints and Christ himself were Jewish?
Well, that's oftentimes that's what's going to happen, is that people are going to somehow redefine who Jesus was and they're going to make him fit into some particular, something that fits with their ideology. The interesting thing about, for instance, I know this is getting a little off what we're talking about, but the interesting thing about groups like Christian Identity and, for instance, Nation of Islam, or some of the other, there are black groups that, they claim themselves to be descendants of the ten tribes of Israel, and that Jesus was black. And the same thing happens with Christian Identity groups. They claim to be descendants of the lost ten tribes of Israel, and Jesus was had white skin and probably had blonde hair and blue eyes. And of course, both of those can't be true, and most likely neither of those are true. We know that Jesus was of the nation of Israel, and we have to recognize that this anti-Semitic element is a non-Christian element to the degree that it denies who Jesus is.
Right, and if they were to claim to be a part of the lost tribes of Israel, I guess they're redefining what Israel originally was.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's common. Now, with kinism is obviously something different from Christian Identity. I should make that very clear. But it certainly shares some of the same characters.
Well, tell us about what the difference is.
Well, with kinism, it appears that kinism has emerged within certain Reconstructionist elements within Calvinist Christianity.
Really?
So that's part of the roots of it. Now we have to be careful here to say that to be Reconstructionist does not mean that one is a kinist.
Of course, I have many friends. I have many friends who are theonomists and Reconstructionists who I've even had on this program as guests, and I do, even though I am not theonomist or Reconstructionist, I have found great value in many things they have written, and the ones that I would view as my friends and those who I admire are vehemently against racism or bigotry of any kind and would consider it a damnable belief and activity. In fact, Gary DeMar has been famous for saying that slavery as it was practiced in America and in Europe is actually a sin punishable by death in the Old Testament. If you kidnap a man and sell him, that had the death penalty upon it. So there is
right.
So I just wanted to make it clear that we are not trying to make anybody think.
Yeah.
The more well-known theonomists and Reconstructionists are definitely not.
This would be an aberration that I haven't been able to trace it all the way back, but I, from what I've been able to see, this is an aberration within that particular group, or at least has some affinity with that group, with that kind of thinking. But one of the things that you'll find in kinist thought is the idea that slavery as practiced in the United States was not wrong. And they'll look back to people like Robert Louis Dabney and others, who Southern Presbyterian, whose works I've read, and in many ways I have benefited from, but I have not benefited at all from him on his views on race. And they will appeal to some of those writings, and try to justify American slavery as it was practiced, even the man stealing aspect of it. We have to be aware of the roots of it and some of the ways that they try to justify their thought. Rush Dooney's writings, even though Rush Dooney himself would not propound this kind of a theory, but Rush Dooney's writings are sometimes appealed to.
Yeah, I had heard some of those unfortunate statements that he had made And but obviously the best of men are men at best, and Christ died for all of the sin of his elect. And so even when we have Christian heroes, especially from the past, who have said and wrote very stupid and unchristian things, we can't just completely deny them as our brethren. It's not like the hallmark of the lives of the Puritans and even somebody more contemporary like Rushdoony was some kind of white separatism, you know, like that was the main reason for their existence. Let's take a few of our listener questions. We have, let's see, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County wants to know, whatever happened to that racist church in the Midwest called the Church of Jesus Christ Christian after its leader died? This seemed to be a central hub of activity for racists and white supremacists of all kind, whether they be Klansmen or neo-Nazis from all over the world who would gather there. Do you know if this place still exists, and what kind of label would you give that kind of racism?
Sure. Well, I think that he's referring to Church of Jesus Christ Christian was also sometimes called Aryan Nations.
Yes, that's probably what he's talking to.
So if that's what he's talking about, I remember there was a lawsuit that was filed, and those who filed the lawsuit actually won the lawsuit, and so I think the compound that had been established was literally confiscated, and that was a group that was headed by Butler, who died some years ago. But it's not clear to me whether or not that that group has continued in some form or not. I'm not really sure about that.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, have you ever heard a white supremacist explain why Moses' sister was cursed with leprosy by God for being opposed to Moses marrying an Ethiopian?
It's a great question. The thing we have to recognize about the Old Testament and what it says about intermarriage, we have to always remember that God's purpose has to do with his plan of salvation, ultimately in Jesus Christ. And when we get that, when we get off that focus, and we start focusing in on race and nationality, we're losing the whole point of the Bible.
And a proselyte who was a Gentile who came into the faith of the Hebrew Scriptures, they were permitted to marry, intermarry with the Jews, were they not?
Exactly right. And when and one thing that's often not realized is that when Israel left Egypt, there was a multitude of non-Israelites that were with them. There was a whole multitude of people who went with them. It's interesting to see how even in the Old Testament there are many, many instances where you see that God's plan is ultimately for the nations, that he's focusing in on one single nation during that period of history, but ultimately the plan is for the whole world. And you even see that in the promise that's made to Abraham. The blessing that was given to Abraham was that he would be a father not just of one nation, but of many nations.
Well, I think the listener, Susan in Dauphin County, was asking how does a white supremacist respond to the fact that God himself is the one that brought leprosy upon this woman who is Moses' sister because she was a racist. She was bigoted against Moses' wife. So
it's a good question. It's funny because I don't think that I was ever asked that question by a Christian And I don't know how I would have. I don't know how I would have responded at that time. Obviously God did judge her, and He showed His disapproval of her thinking, and it was related not just to the fact that she was that she was complaining about Moses's Ethiopian wife, but it was also the fact that she was complaining against the one whom God had called to lead the nation and the Old Testament mediator between God and men. So there was that as well. There was rebellion in her heart, and God judged her for it.
Excellent. And we're going to our final break right now. I'm going to read a question for you, and then you can answer it when we return. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who wants to know, how do white separatists and white supremacists who do not believe in integration respond to the fact that the Great Commission calls us out into all the world to bring the gospel? I think that's a very good question, especially in regard to your comments earlier that white supremacists and segregationists use the fact that the Tower of Babel and the separation of people, and that God obviously had decreed that there be nations and so on, and but anyway, we could if you could answer that when we return. We're going to our final break right now, and our email address, again, if you'd like to join us on the air while we still have time, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages, God willing.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, assistant professor of systematic theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, Senior Pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Aronson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today, for the past 90 minutes and the next 20 minutes or so to come, has been and will continue to be Pastor Lowell Ivey of Reformation Presbyterian Church, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which is a mission work of the Presbytery of the Southeast. We have been and will continue addressing the theme Inside the Dark Mind of a White Supremacist. Our guest is formerly a white supremacist who is a part of a gang in prison with that identity, and he was rescued out of that hellish mindset, that damning mindset, and into the saving arms of Christ. And we are so delighted that he is a repentant brother and believer in Christ and also a pastor. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question while we still have time, our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com. And let's see. Oh, yeah, we had RJ in White Plains before the break, who was asking about how a Christian, or I should say a professing Christian, who also identifies as a white supremacist or as a segregationist, somebody that does not believe that people with different skin colors should intermingle, that they must remain separate, just as God had created nations by his sovereignty and providence in different parts of the world, that seems to indicate to these white supremacists and segregationists that we are not to mix with people who look different than us. But that's obviously an absurdity when the Great Commission given by Christ himself is commanding that we go into all the world and making disciples of all nations. As far as you know, white supremacists and segregationists respond to that?
Well, you started out last segment asking about Kenneth in particular, and so I actually pulled up an article that is entitled "Kennism: The Only Hope for Racial Reconciliation." So, in other words, and the argument of this article is that good fences make for good neighbors. That's the argument. One quote from the article is "Fences are the physical demarcation of holiness. Be they between clans, neighborhoods, nations, or races, fences disambiguate the property and jurisdiction of one group from another, and so sanctified removes said properties from the realm of contest. This is peace. This is the true and only means of reconciliation between the races, honoring the bounds of all peoples and transgressing against none. Kinism is the golden rule applied. If kinism grants white nations, heritage, and culture the morality of their existence, so too is the only perspective that sanctions the existence of black nations, heritage, and culture, and all others besides. So in other words, this is their idea of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to tell everybody that kinism is the way to have harmony in the world.
And this is basically echoing what the founder of the American Nazi Party that I mentioned earlier, George Lincoln Rockwell, and Elijah Muhammad, the black man who founded the Nation of Islam, they would agree with that, and that's why you could have the mind-boggling invitation by the Elijah Muhammad of the black Muslims or Nation of Islam to George Lincoln Rockwell, the white racist and Nazi, to their major event at Madison Square Garden to speak. And to have a standing ovation given to him.
Yeah. So what they do is they turn the gospel inside out and upside down. And the gospel is no longer the good news of salvation for all people in Jesus Christ, who's making a new humanity, who's bringing all the nations together, Jews and Gentiles together in one body, the church. That's not the gospel of kinism, the false gospel of kinism. I focus on that because that's probably, that doctrine is probably closest to home for many of us in the Reformed, community.
But even if that is an explanation that these white supremacists and segregationists give, it does not, unless I miss something, how do they respond to the fact that it is a command of Christ to go into these nations where people obviously have different skin colors and so on?
Now, I think what they're going to say is if we go in at all, we would go in to tell them that we need to be separate and that's the way to live under the gospel.
We have arrived in your country to tell you that we must be separate. It doesn't make any sense at all, don't you think?
That's the thing. It doesn't make any sense, and that's because it's contrary to the gospel itself. So the problem is that they're not thinking biblically. They're thinking in terms of external characteristics. They're thinking in terms of nationality. They're thinking in terms of fences and so forth. They're not thinking in terms of Christ and the gospel.
Let's see here. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, I heard Tucker Carlson on Fox News not long ago say that the liberals have gone to such an extreme that they act as if there are Ku Klux Klansmen and neo-Nazis in every neighborhood, and that the sin of white supremacy is so prevalent in our nation that it is barely distinguishable from Nazi Germany. Although this is a sin that exists, don't you think, along with Tucker Carlson, that its prevalence is being grossly exaggerated by liberals? Yes, I heard Tucker say that myself. He said that he's never met face-to-face a person who would identify as a white supremacist. And that, although he obviously acknowledges that this evil exists, that that when you beat the drum so loudly and act as if everyone who is a conservative and has conservative ideology involving immigration, and when you equate that with white supremacy, it really nullifies the actual meaning of the term.
Well, and this actually brings me to the point that I wanted to make about how do we live in this culture and how do we be witnesses of Christ in this politically charged culture. And the problem here, there's a lot of problems with this. First of all, if everything's racism, then nothing's racism, and racism has lost its meaning. Secondly, We don't live in a society in which the principal is guilty until proven innocent. We live in a society in which the principal is innocent until proven guilty. And in the Christian faith, that's expressed in what's often been called the judgment of charity. I don't try to look into your heart and find motives that I can't see expressed. I seek to take you at face value until you show some sort of open hostility towards me. And I have to mention, I don't have much time to get into it, but there's an academic philosophy called critical race theory that's filtered down from liberal academia, but is increasingly coming into the church. And it's the idea that that there's a lot of racism out there, that it's systemic, that we live basically in an environment that's been created by white people, and everything because the society that we live in has been created by white people, that it's essentially that our whole society is systemically racist, and we're all unconscious racists. We don't even realize we're taking advantage of all of these gifts that were given to us they're given to us because a lot of black people worked very hard on slave plantations. That's kind of the image that's put out there. That's the narrative that's put out there. And so we're unconscious racists.
That would be, when you say we're, you're talking about just white people. Nobody else in the human race has this sin, according to this critical race theory. It's just us white folks, right?
Well, and I've actually heard some who will say that a black person cannot be racist, and the reason
many times.
and the reason for that is because he's not in the majority; has no power. Now, the problem with that is I've actually lived in a circumstance where I was in the minority. I was a white person in prison, and it was majority black and Hispanic, and I came in contact with many black racists. Many white racists too, and I was a white racist. But the point I'm trying to make is, it is possible for people to be a racist of any nationality or ethnicity, simply because the underlying sin is the sin of pride and hatred. So we're by nature haters of God and haters of one another. That's the essential problem.
Yes, and I know that people who listen to this show often enough know that I've repeated this many times because of the fact that racism is brought up in the media daily, multiple times every day. but the idea that you cannot be guilty of the sin of racism if you are a member of a minority group that's been persecuted is so ridiculously unbiblical, because we have the Jews who were persecuted for centuries, ever since their existence, by the Gentile pagan nations. You have a rebuke of the Jews in the New Covenant for being bigoted against Gentiles. And you have the Judaizers trying to carry on that bigotry, and the Apostle Paul had very strong rebukes against that, even rebuking the Apostle Peter before it was revealed to him that he was in sin in that regard. So the Jews, obviously, they were enslaved by Egypt, and they've been persecuted and massacred and so on for centuries, and yet that didn't give them some kind of right to be bigoted or even be in opposition to those that were Gentile.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was really the great sin of the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus. Was
right.
This idea that because they had the covenant and because they had the promises of God and because they had the temple, especially, they had the very symbol of God's presence among them, they took that to mean that they were somehow a greater people than any other, when God himself had said long before, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest of all people. I chose you because I decided to set my love upon you.
Amen. Well, as far as the way that white supremacy manifests itself, are there any other categories that you care to discuss before we run out of time? And by the way, I don't know if you would like to come back, because I certainly would like you to come back soon for a part two of this, just to make sure that we cover nearly everything that you intend to cover in this subject.
That'd be great. There's just so much more that could be said. We've really only scratched the surface. I think it'd be really good to help people as we come to a close to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ really is the only answer to racism. It's the only answer to racial reconciliation. In fact, what people are seeking in terms of racial reconciliation is something that has already happened in Christ. Christ has brought all people together in one. He's created a new humanity, Jews and Gentiles together. That new humanity is called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is ruling over his church in love, and he's calling all men everywhere to repent of all sins, not just the sin of racism, but to repent of that sin too, and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fall on their faces, and to worship him together as we will do one day in heaven.
Now, because of the fact that, as we have mentioned during this interview, white supremacy or black supremacy or any idea that your the color of your skin or your ethnic origins make you superior to anyone else, not only is it moronic, but it's satanic and it's damnable to have that kind of a mindset. Because we feel so passionately about that, I also, and I'm sure you agree with me, feel passionately that to call someone a white supremacist or a white racist or a racist, and when there is no real evidence of that, that is a very wicked thing. It is slander. It's bearing false witness against your neighbor. We see this happening all the time in the media with anybody who does not agree with liberal concepts and understandings. And I dare I say, actually, leftist, not liberal, understandings of immigration and so on. This has really reached such a height of evil and slander and nonsense that it not only is a wickedness because you're murdering people's reputations, but you are also making that term, white supremacist or racist or bigot, almost like, pardon the pun, white noise in the background where people aren't even taking it seriously anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then when the real thing comes, how are we gonna defend against
right.
it? This for me is even greater. The greatest concern of all is that this is creeping into the church, and perhaps not creeping in, but actually flowing in like a flood. The church cannot help but be influenced by the culture around it, and we have to recognize where these ideas are coming from. These ideas are not coming from the Bible. These ideas are coming from outside, from the world. We have to be very, very careful, especially in regard to making accusations against people. It's one thing to have evidence that someone has demeaned a brother or sister in Christ or has done something to demonstrate some sort of racist ideology, has written something, has said something, has acted out in some way, but to judge people simply on the basis of subjective opinion is absolutely wicked. You're right.
And the thing that is ironic, and of course this is something else I've said repeatedly on the show, and my guests, some of them have said repeatedly, is that this new social justice movement is actually using racist rhetoric to oppose what they envision as racism. I'm not saying that they all do, but many of them, especially those who are most vocal and visible and are in the limelight, if you will, of the media, or even in Christian articles and so on, they're using racist rhetoric that very often sounds like, if you didn't know who was writing it, it could be a Ku Klux Klan person writing it or a neo-Nazi writing it. It's just amazing.
One of the saddest things that I've seen is some within the church advocating for a reverse kind of segregation in the church.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most concerning things that I've seen recently. And I think we need to be saddened by it, number one. And we need to reject it, number two. And we need to call for repentance towards those who are seeking to divide the church. The church, as I said, is the place in which racial reconciliation, it's the only place that racial reconciliation can ever happen. And it has happened. It's happened in Christ. And so we need to live that out. And the church has not always lived that out as it should. That's true. But if it's going to be lived out at all, it's going to be in the church and nowhere else.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like you, in 2 minutes' time now, just to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today. And again, I want to invite you back very soon to continue this subject, because I think we just scratched the surface. But if you could just summarize the theme today for us.
Well, the theme, of course, is white supremacy and the way in which white supremacy is a denial of the gospel. But we need to focus on what the gospel is. And the gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ, his saving work, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I would regard myself as the chief. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chief. And I would regard myself to be the worst possible sinner. And each one of us needs to see ourselves that way. And as we do, we begin to relate to God and to one another in a way that is much less adversarial. And certainly, we begin to see that Christ is a great Savior who has saved great sinners like us.
Amen. Well, for those of you who want to find out more about Reformation Presbyterian Church and Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, you can go to reformation-opc.org. That's reformation-opc, which stands for Orthodox Presbyterian Church.org. And do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
Yeah, you can just send me an email at pastor@reformation-opc.org. I'd love to hear any questions and answer those if I'm able to.
That's pastor@reformation-opc.org. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Lowell Ivey, for being on the program. If you could remain on the line so I can say a proper goodbye to you and also schedule part two of this discussion, I would appreciate that.
Great. Thanks again.
I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.